Today we have already heard about a crowd that went really wild, and we demonstrated that earlier on with the children sharing Jesus on the day when he entered Jerusalem. I wonder how often we really get excited about something and let everybody know about that. So I'd like to sample that in today's service, a little bit out of the, you know, convention. So if you are able to shout, I wouldn't mind that. Maybe a little bit unconventional. Because Palm Sunday was very much unconventional. And so if we do anything a little bit unconventional today, I'm sure we'll all be happy with that. Okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and if the answer is yes, I'd like you to show me that it is yes. If it is no, I'd also like you to show me that it is no. You don't need to look at somebody by your side to answer. Just answer it yourself. It's not a very difficult quiz. It's an easy, there are easy questions to ask. Now the first is, do you like being hugged? There you go. Now, when you sing in church, like we sang today, do you sometimes feel like dancing? Yes. Then we have to dance sometime. Okay, do you sing in the bath or shower? Yes. When you are in a crowd in a stadium, do you shout for your team? Or maybe you are watching from the house. Do you shout for your team? Like when Scotland is playing rugby, do you really shout and say, go Scotland, go for it, win? Do you do that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the other one is, have you ever taken part in a protest march?
Yes.
And what did you do then? And shouting, okay. Do you like audience participation or getting up and doing something in church on a Sunday morning or during the weekday? Do you like that? Okay. Anyway, so based on your answers, we'll have to work something out going forward. And I hope that maybe when we sing the next song, you might be able to dance, for those of you who like dancing. Now, I wonder why the crowd was so excited about Jesus. I wonder why they were so excited, why they were singing and shouting and jumping. Perhaps imagine if the queen were to visit Kaluk. If the queen was to visit Kaluk today or tomorrow, what would have happened? Would you like to go and see her for yourself? Or would you like to sit and watch it from the telly? I'm sure you like to go wear your nicest of dresses and even want to break protocols. And if possible, have a wee handshake. Or maybe have a direct wee smile with the queen, isn't it? You like to do that. I wonder why they were so excited to receive Jesus. Can you think of a time when you were so excited about Jesus that you had to tell someone about him? Can you think about such a time in your life when you were so excited about Jesus? You really loved him so much, you felt like, oh, wow, this is wonderful. Can you think of a time like that? And you had to share something about Jesus with people. Can you think of a time like that? And if there was a time like that, what did you say to them? What did you say? Okay, we can talk about that over tea at the end of the service. What you say to them when you were so excited about Jesus. As we study the life of Jesus on the pages of the four Gospels, we discover that much attention is given to the last week of Jesus' life on earth. And those who wrote the scripture, they are really making serious statements. They are saying to us that the most important part of the disclosure of who Jesus was and is revealed in the last week of his life. The words that describe the experiences of the week could be described in many ways, full of emotion, the ups and downs of the week, and we know them, the shout of Hosanna, the confrontation, the betrayal, the denial, the trial, the ambivalence of Pilate, the scourging, the crucifixion, the agony of death between two thieves, one who cursed him and the other who asked for his forgiveness, and of course the tomb. Then on that glorious first Easter morning, we hear that captivating sentence ever uttered. He is not here, he is risen. Jesus' journey on a Palm Sunday was no accident. And this is obvious from the clear instruction that he gave to his disciples. He rode into Jerusalem on his own accord. He was not pressured into it. And Jesus was making a statement. He was making a deliberate claim to be the anointed one, the Messiah. And the prophecy, as we read in Zechariah, is a message about a king who will be rejected, but a rejected king who will also be enthroned. On Palm Sunday, Jesus arrived into Jerusalem. The crowd of people lined the street, waving palm branches to him and praising him. They were really excited. Their minds were full of praise. They spread branches on the road and even laid down their clothes. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." It was a matter of urgency, save us. They were praising him and saying, "Please save us now." This Hosanna means, could stand for a confession. So the people were shouting, "Hosanna." It was a confession saying, "Look, we can't fix it ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We need you to help. We want you to intervene in our situation. We believe you can. We believe you are able. Please, Hosanna, save us now. We need your salvation now, not tomorrow. Now, save us now." Yeah, they were jubilating, they were praising, but they believed strongly in their hearts that salvation could only come from Jesus, and they needed that salvation. Like those who shouted Hosanna more than 2,000 years ago, almost all of us have something from which we want saving. It could be sickness, it could be feeling helpless. Maybe we are wondering and feeling alone. Maybe we are pressured by life, anxiety, and all issues of life. Maybe we are uncertain. Maybe we are worried for our community, our country, our world. In fact, it is said that the lingering Brexit discourse is also beginning to affect the mental health of many Britons. And not just Britons, the European Union. And also, it's not just European Union, because in a globalized society, no nation is on its own. There's always a connection. And so when one nation is sneezing, it affects other nations. So it's a global uncertainty that we face as a result of the situation we all find ourselves in. And so in many ways, the cry of Hosanna becomes very timely for us. In churches today, in the nation today, Hosanna becomes a cry we need to raise unto the Lord. We raise it not because we are afraid that we are helpless. We raise the cry of Hosanna not because we feel that the darkness is winning the day. We cry Hosanna because we believe that Jesus is well able, more than able, to do more than we can ever think or imagine. And that was the song that really has always inspired me all my days growing up in high school, in primary school. That God can do more than I can ever dream. He can make me what he wants me to be. So we cry out Hosanna to him because we know he's well able to do more than we can ever think or imagine. So the cry of Hosanna is really timely today. As Karen also mentioned to us, and as was read in the Bible, the leaders were worried, and they asked Jesus, please stop this, your people from crying. Stop them from shouting. And Jesus said, if this will stop, the stones will rise and praise me. I've always considered it a privilege, not just to be a minister, but to be a Christian, to be a believer. I've always considered it a wonderful privilege that God has given that I am called his child. And it's a very wonderful privilege that God has called us to this place of worship. Yes, God needs to partner with us to do a lot of things that he's doing. But we need to consider it a privilege that God has counted us worthy to be used as instruments to move his kingdom forward. Jesus said to them, if these stones will stop, if these people will stop, the stones will rise. But we cannot allow the stones to praise God, can we? In fact, the children said, no, we cannot. We need to be in the place of praising God, of telling out the goodness of the Lord in our communities, of speaking about the God of God's love to our world. The followers of Jesus lined up and were praising him as the king. And so today we gather here today to praise him as the Messiah. And as long as we praise him, there will be no need for these stones to cry out. There will be no need for the stones to cry out to praise him as long as we continue to praise him. But just before I round off this short reflection, I would like to ask you again, do you feel excited about Jesus? Do you feel excited in your heart about him? Do you feel proud to be called the Son of God? Do you feel excited to be a Christian? Do you feel like, oh, wow, what a wonderful privilege I have to be a child of God? It's a privilege. And I've always said we are not on the margin. I shared this story a few years ago about someone who had joined a Presbyterian congregation newly, because Presbyterians are often, but not in St. John's anyway, often a little bit reserved and will not want to express themselves. That's not the case with us in St. John's. We express ourselves in worship. And then this young lady, anytime the minister says something, she would say, oh, praise the Lord. And people were like, what's this? What's this praise the Lord for? And she kept saying that Sunday after Sunday. And so one of the days, the welcoming team or the ushers walked up to her and said, please keep quiet. And he said, no, I found Jesus. And then the usher said, keep quiet, you didn't find him here. Not here, keep quiet. So, are you really excited about Jesus? That's the question I would like you to take home. Are you really excited? Do you really feel, in your heart right now, with all you are going through, do you feel excited about him? Yesterday, some of you already know, I joined Ray. Ray is just off the hook because I said today, if I was unable to climb the pulpit, it will all be her fault. But it was almost like flying through the pulpit this morning. And yesterday, it was said to be 7.5 miles walk with 20 persons from everywhere. But you know what happened? We had to follow Ray. And then we asked, have we gone halfway? And some people were like, I'm not really sure. And some were like, where are we now? I don't know. I asked a few persons, where are we? And they said, they don't know. And I thought, okay, Ray knows I have to preach in church today, so that should be fine. But you know, even though at a point it was getting a little bit difficult, but I was trusting the leader. My eyes was on Ray. Because she would always come around to say, how are you getting on? I said, I'm fine. It's going okay. You know what? No matter what you are going through today, you can keep your eyes on the leader. Now, what happened yesterday is that we took off from a point, and Ray brought us back to that point and gave us a wee cup of tea and cake. I could trust Ray. I could trust the team. I could trust the company of those that I worked with. I knew I was safe in their team, their company. and we safely got back to where we started, and I'm here this morning. We can trust the Lord. As we cry out Hosanna today, let us trust this Master, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us know that even though the going might be tough, that He's absolutely in control. He's cheering us up. He's holding us by the hand. He's smiling at us. Let us journey in faith. Let us go out there and share the story. Let us be excited about Jesus. And I just pray that today, as we live here, our hearts will be inspired. We'll live here excited, pleased that we have this wonderful privilege to be called God's children. It's a great privilege. And I say this to us not because I'm your minister. I say this because I am a Christian, a believer in Christ Jesus, and I found full joy in serving Him. And that joy was there even long before I became a minister. And every passing day, I see God increasing His joy and His peace in my heart. Let today be a day of praise, a day we can go out there and express this joy. No matter what we try to zip our mouths to seal our zeal or joy, in spite of everything we might be going through, we have a good news. And this good news is what the world is waiting for. Let us not keep it to ourselves. Let us be excited. When you are in love with someone, you tell people about that. If you love Jesus, you cannot hold it to yourself. You speak to people about your family, your friends, about how wonderful He is to you. You may not know all the theology, all the doctrines, but you know that He loves and He cares about you. Let's share the story of Christ's love. Amen.